We have been praying and preparing and seeking the Lord for Joshua, and our brother Ed and Tom felt impressed at the beginning to talk about the kings, five kings in Chronicles, and as they have studied this for, months now, the Lord has been guiding them and refining what he has to say through them. And typically, I don't try to compete with that, because I never see the same things the Lord shows them until he reveals it. But this year, I've really felt impressed to study these scriptures that we've been given about the five kings. And it is just rich, and I've shared a number of things about that. But I particularly want to focus on the king Jehoshaphat. But the scripture to begin with is to have in your heart and mind is chapter 6, 2 Chronicles 16, 9. And this was one of the things Ed first shared about this time that the Lord has given him, he and Tom, the burden for. And what it says in 16:9, I don't know if we're going to, if we're able to be that quick, because I was not prepared to share what the scriptures are, but apparently we can project them now. But 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly, strongly support those whose heart is completely his." And the prophet was speaking to Asa in this chapter, and Asa had messed up. But the word of the Lord is that he is strongly, he wants to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And I want to look at the scriptures about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is Asa's son. And the word begins with, in chapter 17, just down the page from where you were, "Jehoshaphat his son, Asa's son, became king in his place and made his position over Israel firm." And later on it says, and I don't exactly have the exact scripture, but basically he said he did, there it is, verse 4. "But he sought the God of his father and followed his commandments." This is the thing, this is what Jehoshaphat was doing. He was following the example of his father in verse 3. "Followed the example of his father David's earlier days and did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father. Followed his commandments and did not act as Israel did." And that's the point that was brought out about these kings, is that they walked in the ways of David. They walked in the ways of God. And Jehoshaphat starts off wonderfully well. He is ruling at the same time that Ahab is ruling in Israel. And he establishes his kingdom in a godly way. And it says in verse 6, he took great pride in the ways of the Lord and again removed the high places and the Asherim from Judah. Israel and Judah were struggling with idol worship. This was that they just couldn't seem to get away from it. And the people wanted to worship the sun and the moon and the earth and the rain and the springtime and harvest and all this stuff. They wanted to worship the creation, not the creator. And they set up, I don't need to go into all that. They set up all these places of worship, and they set up things to remind them to pray to these gods of stone and wood. And Jehoshaphat went about trying to remove them, remove these things, that, and to call the people, get the people's heart to focus on the Lord. And he goes about and he sends his officials in verse 7, and with them the Levites, and he sends them out, taking the book of the law of the Lord with them in verse 9, and they went throughout the cities of Judah and taught among the people. And Jehoshaphat's kingdom was established. And it was established because he was trusting in the Lord. God was strongly supporting the one whose heart was his. And it says that in verse 10, that the dread of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of the lands around Judah, and they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. And they brought gifts, and they made him greater and greater, and he had warriors and so forth and so on as you go on down through verse 19 of chapter 17. So Jehoshaphat wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to cleanse Judah of these things that weren't God's, that the people somehow were drawn to. They're drawn to the things of the earth, drawn to the ways of the world. They were caught up, entangled in stuff. Now, that's Old Testament. We struggle with the same thing, don't we? We don't call them idols. And we don't set up an altar somewhere and go out and worship. But we do worship. We get caught up in the things that frighten us. I mean, we talked about it this morning. Our brother shared, you know, the things that the enemy tries to stir up and the things that we are drawn to and that we get afraid of and we bow down to because we are afraid of. let me go on. So what happened to Jehoshaphat? Here he is. He has, it doesn't say he had a vision of the Lord, but he knew who the Lord was, and he did the things that his father did, that he'd seen his father doing, and he followed the ways of David. And here in chapter 18, verse 1, something difficult happens, and he is spun off into another orbit. Now, Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab. Ahab is not a good guy. Ahab is king of Israel. Ahab is a worldly man. And he is not doing the things that David did. Well, Jehoshaphat married into Ahab's family. It doesn't say, and maybe there, maybe we know somewhere, but I'm assuming it was one of Ahab's daughters, because he was younger than Ahab by a fair amount. And somehow, for whatever reason, I don't know, was it Christmas time? They went to visit the family. Was there a reunion or something? And his wife prevailed upon him, and so he goes to Israel with her. And he visits Ahab, and Ahab welcomes him with open arms, and he kills the fatted calf, and they have a great reunion or whatever. And Ahab asks Jehoshaphat to go up with him. We are the former kingdom of David, Judah and Israel. We're family. You've married my daughter. Let's go and take Ramoth-Gilead. Well, this is a place, and I'm sorry, I haven't studied exactly what all the things about it, but I believe this is a holy place, or I say a holy place. It's a place of significance to the two kingdoms, to David's kingdom and to in the past. There's history there. And so it had fallen into the hands of the enemy, and so seemed like a good idea, right? So Jehoshaphat says, let's do it. I'll go with you. I am as you are. Well, he didn't know how true those words were. Because he asks, he says, so what does the Lord say about this? And Ahab's, this is quite involved, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but there should have been warning bells going off. I mean, this was like, how could Jehoshaphat miss this? That God is not in this. I mean, it's not like he was fooled with Ahab, and it seems like Ahab wasn't even fooled. That all his prophets were saying, yes, go up, you're going to win, it's going to be great. You're going to have great spoil. You're going to reunite the kingdom, whatever. All these good things are going to happen. And Jehoshaphat says, well, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we could ask? And so Ahab says, yeah, but he never says anything that helps me. And he's always against me. Fancy that. Why didn't Jehoshaphat see this? I don't know, but I know I struggle with the same thing. I don't see things that are very obvious after the fact. I struggle. We struggle. Anyhow, so the prophet comes and he says, oh, you're going to have a great time. It's going to work. And anyway, he goes through all this. And he reveals that the Lord has spoken to him. And Jehoshaphat knew this. And he went up anyway. I don't understand that. But I do understand that. I mean, I don't know how it could be so obvious, but of course I'm looking at it from thousands of years later. Anyhow, he still went up with Ahab. And then, just to add insult to injury, I guess, or to, you know, just to paint this problem a little brighter, you know, to put the big red X on this a little bit in a little bit bolder terms, maybe highlighting it in yellow. Ahab says, you know, I'm going to go up in disguise. What? But you wear all your kingly robes. Wear all your kingly robes. You know, show your splendor, show your might. I'm going to go up in disguise. Well, you know, we've talked last 2 weeks. We've had some emphasis on the banner. You know, the God is our banner, and in these wars at this time and for years to come, the banner of the king was the place that the army followed. It was what oriented them on the battlefield. It was the sign of power on the battlefield. And, you know, it continued until, you know, years and years later, even in our recent, not too distant history, you know, the flag was the thing that rallied the troops. And as it went forward, they went forward. And as it suffered, they suffered. And it was a sign of power. Anyhow, Just to establish it. That's why the king was all dressed up, because he was the sign of power. He was leading the charge. Where he was is where the army should be. As he went forward, they should go forward. Well, this wasn't Jehoshaphat's battle. He was just going in with Ahab. And Ahab wasn't all dressed up. He was hiding. He was a coward. He was afraid. And the king of of Syria said, don't go after anybody else, but go after the king. Well, they came after Jehoshaphat because he looked like he was the king. And they suddenly realized God protected poor dumb soul. And he said, you know, it's not me. I'm not Ahab. And so Ahab remained hidden. And somebody at random. Well, actually, you know, I don't think that's random. Let fly with an arrow, and it struck Ahab. I mean, he wasn't even aiming at him. But one of the soldiers let fly with an arrow, and it struck him between the plates of his armor. And he was severely wounded. And he died. Died that night, I believe. At sunset, he died. The battle raged all day, and they got kicked. They were just kicked. They were soundly defeated. It doesn't say, but, you know, this wasn't just soldiers of Israel. These were soldiers of Judah. These were Jehoshaphat's men. He put in harm's way for Ahab, perhaps for his wife, and they were defeated. They were just chewed up. Okay, that's just the story. And, you know, with kind of the amazing, you know, why was Jehoshaphat there? Why, I mean, what was he even there for? It goes on, and he comes back to Jerusalem. It says in chapter 19, verse 1, the king of Judah returned in safety to the house, to his house in Jerusalem. Not everybody returned in safety to their house in Judah, but he did. And Jehu, the son of Hanani the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, and so bring wrath upon yourself from the Lord?" Very good question, but one that seemingly hadn't occurred to Jehoshaphat. I don't understand, and again, I don't see how he missed this. But he goes on, the seer goes on to say, "But there is some good in you, for you have removed the Asheroth from the land, and you have set your heart to seek God." Well, he had. But somehow, this whole sequence, this whole battle, this whole episode with Ahab and Israel, he just missed it. What is it that caught him up in that? Don't know. I don't know for sure. I'm going to come back to it in a bit. But Jehoshaphat turns around. He says, yeah. Apparently he repented. It doesn't say he repented, but he repented because he turns around and he sets up and he says, he appoints judges in all the land and the fortified cities, and he rebuilds again the love for the Lord, that they would have instruction, that the people would have instruction in the Lord. And he charged these people who he sent, these judges who he sent out to all the cities and the towns, "Thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and wholeheartedly." And they're, you know, settle disputes and set things right, and the chief priest would be over them. So he reestablishes the way things should have been. And then he has another challenge that comes up. This is the king, Moab and the sons of Ammon, came together with others, and they are going to make war against Jehoshaphat. Well, Jehoshaphat was weaker than he was before because he just got some part of his army slaughtered. I don't know, you know, it doesn't tell us, you know, did he lose half his men? I mean, back then, I mean, when they lost big. The enemy did not spare them, had no mercy on them. And so Jehoshaphat had turned his heart back to the Lord, and he recognizes that he can't win this battle. This is not something that he can do. And so he turns to the Lord, and, you know, from what he prays here, and I'm not going to read all of this, it's very fruitful to read and to consider the heart of this man. But it shows his heart. His heart is toward the Lord. This isn't just something he's praying because he's scared. He is scared. He's afraid. He knows that they're going to get whipped. And that's why they're coming. They're coming because they know they can whip him. They know they can take things. They know that he has dominated them in the past, but now he can't. And so they're coming for him. And this is his doing. You know, it's a result of what he has done. His not living for the, not following what the Lord clearly put in front of him. I mean, how many places he could have turned back? But anyway, so he decides, you know, he goes before the Lord, and there all the people are gathered. Everybody's afraid, and they're all gathered, and they're seeking the Lord, and they're seeking him with their heart. And again,
are you in 20?
I am now down in 20. Yeah, down around 14. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of and all these. He is a seer. He is a man of God. He's one of the Levites. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Well, you know what Ahab would have said to that if he was alive? You know, yeah, heavy, good, great words, Mr. Prophet, but I don't believe you. Well, Jehoshaphat believed him. And the people believed him. He trusted in the Lord, and he realized that this was the word of the Lord coming to him. And he goes in, and we know this story because it's such an amazing story, you know, that he completely embraces what the Lord says. I mean, the Lord tells him exactly what's going to happen. They're going to come up this way, and they're going to be in the wilderness. And you go out there, but you're not going to have to fight. Well, he doesn't tell Jehoshaphat how to do this. It doesn't, or apparently doesn't. But Jehoshaphat has in his heart so much faith that he puts the singers and the worshipers first. They go out before the army. And they do exactly what the Lord said. Don't fight. You're not going to need to fight. He didn't set them up in battle array. He sent the singers first, for crying out loud. You know, that was faith. He trusted in God. And they saw the victory of the Lord. You know, they were just they slaughtered each other and just wiped each other out. And there was great spoil. And so they went and they took of the spoil and they do all these things, and the kingdom is reestablished and protected. Wow. You know, I mean, really?
Yeah.
Wow. How about that? Praise God. He did exactly what he said, and it was amazing. Verse 32. And he walked, it's talking about Jehoshaphat. Again, it's sort of like it goes back and resets and gives another picture here, another perspective on Jehoshaphat in verse 31. It says, "And he walked in the way of his father Asa and did not depart from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. The high places, however," this is the places where the people would go and worship the things of the earth. "The high places, however, were not removed. The people had not yet directed their hearts to God, to the God of their fathers." Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, are recorded in the book of the Kings. And then 35. What happened? "After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, allied himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel." Ahaziah is the son of Ahab. He is probably the brother of Jehoshaphat's wife.
That's his brother-in-law.
He made a mistake before, and he makes it again. Ahaziah, they get together and they decide they're going to build ships and go to Tarshish. Well, I'm not exactly sure what all that was about, but I assume it was to conquer. I don't think it was a trade mission. But, however, they were building ships. And they were going to go together. And the Lord, in the account, I think in Kings, I'm not sure, but it says that the ships were broken. And he went back and Ahaziah came to him and said, "Well, I'll go with you." And I don't know whether they built them again, they got broken again, but basically they couldn't get this done. God prevented them from being stupid again. You know, chewed up a lot of their whatever, their capital, as it were. But here's the point that I want to make here, and I ask you to consider it. I don't know, I'm sure Ed's going to straighten us out on all these things that if I tell you.
This is
Tom. Oh, this is Tom. What happened to Jehoshaphat? The only thing that I can see here in the record is he had union with the world through his wife. He married a woman who was the daughter of an evil man. And he had union, and he must have loved her. I don't think this would have happened. It must have been something that she captivated him. Whatever. I don't know. But whatever it is, he got dragged down by the world. And he knew better. He knew better. And yet, God saved him. God protected him. What does it say in chapter 21, verse 1? Then Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. You know who his fathers are? Asa and David. And was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, became king in his place. God kept his heritage. God kept his root. Exactly so. He protected him because, as the prophet said when he came back from the debacle with Ahab, but there is some good in you. He really did want the people to know the Lord. He wanted them to understand what God was saying to them, what he had told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. What he had told Israel, how he had led them into the promised land, all this stuff, he wanted them to know. He wanted them to trust. He wanted them to see. His heart was for the things that God wanted them to see. And yet, he got distracted. He took his eyes off the Lord. And I believe it placed him on the things of this world in union with his wife. My point, brothers and sisters, is, as Kevin pointed out this morning, we are here in a situation. The Lord has, the battle is won, but the enemy is still thrashing about. The world is still our enemy. Jesus has overcome the world, but it's still there calling to us. It's still there whispering, saying, if you just invest in this, or if you just join up with this guy, well, don't worry about, you know, that. I mean, you know, the law, everybody kind of fudges on their taxes. Isn't that kind of stupid? I mean, really, you're going to send the singers out first? I mean, yeah, you've got to show a strong, got to show strength, when the true strength is in the power of God.
Amen.
Anyway. Lord, we do ask you to help us to see, help us to be aware, help us to be ready and to not walk in the ways of the world, not be caught up. Lord, that we would recognize these things by your Holy Spirit. Lord, when you went out of your way to show poor Jehoshaphat how foolish he was being, and yet he went ahead anyway. Lord, I can be that way. I am that way. Lord, help me. Help us. We want to be strong. We want the things that you want. We want to worship you. We want to lead with our heart in praise and thanksgiving. In your precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen.